This morning, our title is Impacting Our Communities with the Love of Jesus Christ. And part two will be next week, which I think Gary and Joey are going to take us through. I'm not actually going to say very much. I've got three different people just to come and share, because it's not just us as a leadership, it's us as South Kent Community Church that makes this happen. So the title this morning, Impacting Our Communities with the Love of Jesus Christ, or perhaps we could describe it as love in action. And every leader, every church, every member should really carry this as a value, a desire to impact people's lives. And I trust the very reason that we invest in the lives, our lives into the work of the local church, is that we really do believe the power of the gospel, and that's so important, and the love of God for every person this morning. And I think that's been evident as some of the prophetic words that have come out. To reach out to people with the love of God is a very practical, but it's also a very biblical thing. We may not be the perfect church. I know we're not. But, you know, I do believe one thing that we actually are very good at, and that's reaching out to our community in so many various ways. I've just had a vision of a lady running in front of me, but you know, and actually over the years that has increased as more and more people have been willing to serve and to give themselves not only of their time but of their money as well. And I think many of you today, if I ask someone to stand up, if you're involved in some of our community outreaches or projects, I would think over half of you would probably stand up this morning, which is absolutely fantastic. Just so as that we ground this, Matthew 5 verse 16, it says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Can I just say here, good works don't replace leading people to Christ. Can I just say that again? Good works don't replace leading people to Christ. But I think what it does, it creates that additional opportunity to pray for people, to show them unconditional love, and to present the gospel through the love that we share. And sometimes that takes time, and it takes a lot of commitment, and sometimes we don't always stay the journey. But I think if we have that tenacity of heart, then God produces the fruit. Love often manifests itself in action. And 1 John 3:16, 17 says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." And how true that is. Everywhere Jesus went, hearts were touched and hope was given. He intersected people's lives wherever they lived and when they went about their daily business, as he went about his. And as I said this morning, I'm going to ask three other people really to come and share, because I think out of what they share, you'll pick up as something of the variety where God's heart is touching different people. I was really encouraged this week. One church leader, not intentionally, but we were just having a conversation. He says, "Can I just say something?" And he spoke about one lady from this church. And he says, "I want to say she is an amazing lady for all that she does." And I thought, yes, she's one of our family. And it's great, isn't it, when people say things like that. And as a church, each week, we touch such a variety of people in the community. And just to remind you of some of the things that we do. So we touch children's lives, we touch the elderly, we touch those who are in debt, we touch those who have an unexpected pregnancy, we touch those who are bereaved, we touch the homeless, the needy, and the lonely. And that happens every week in this church, and so I just want to commend you, and I'm sure that God's heart is pleased what we do. And I'm going to ask John Wilson, first of all, to come and share. John is the director of the Rainbow Centre, and obviously he carries a massive heart for the community. So, brilliant, John. Thank you.
Thanks, Graham. Well, just hearing Julie share and what Graham shared, it's good to be part of this church, isn't it? It's great, so much going on. But I just wanted to take a few minutes just to sort of share sort of my heart for the community and a little bit about my background and sort of how I sort of came to sort of get involved in the work that I do. And I was reading a book a little while back, some of you might know it, by Shane Claiborne called Irresistible Revolution. And in that book it says, Shane says, God comforts the disturbed and disturbs the comfortable. And that was definitely my story when at 24 I ended up, I thought quite randomly, going to work for a small charity in the heart of a huge in estate in London. And I didn't really know quite what I was getting into, but I think God had a bit more of an idea. And I ended up being surrounded by a small group of Christians who had really, in their early 20s, had committed to moving on to this large estate and starting to build relationship and meeting in the homes, praying together and inviting other people into the homes and just building a vision to really see transformation in that community. And over that time, I was really impacted. One, I'd grown up in the suburbs of London, lived quite in nice suburbs of London in a place called Surbiton. Some people refer to it as Suburbiton. And, but just 25 minutes down the road was a huge council estate with all sorts of issues, gang culture, young people getting into really bad situations, violence, things that I just completely opened my eyes to. But what really impacted me was this group of, I would say, radical, passionate young Christians who just caught something of God's heart to see lives transformed. And they could, if you went in there just walking around, you'd have been totally overwhelmed. If you're looking at it through natural eyes, totally overwhelmed by the situation that was around and all the problems and all the difficulties, thinking, actually, where could we even start? But they were really committed, and that really sort of impacted me. And over the course of the 4 years I was there, I just saw how expressing love, and we talked about the love of God just being expressed through others, people's lives radically changed and turned around. There's one lad in particular who I was just so impacted by his story. He would have been written off. If you'd met him, you'd seen him. He had no self-confidence, been in and out of the education system. At the age of 12, he'd discovered his mother dead on the floor with over a heroin overdose. Father in and out of prison. All his friends were in various gangs, getting into all sorts of trouble. And you would have just thought, this guy has got no hope ahead of him. But over a course of a few years, I just saw him come alive by people believing in him, speaking words of truth, motivating him and encouraging him and loving him. And at the age of 25, he's now just over 25, he's gone over to Kenya. He got an apprentice as a mechanic. He's trained up as a mechanic, making up London taxis. And then he's gone on now to go over to Kenya, find money to build a garage over there, and has now enabled local Kenyans to be mechanics and training them and taking groups of young people from the estate that he's come from over there to see what God can do through love in action. And he's had a huge impact to this one life, and it just goes to show that actually sometimes, you know, we don't get to see all of that we invest in people, but that can just have a huge impact, and it has on his life and all those around him. And now he's spreading the love of Jesus to the next generation of young people. But I think, recognising in my own life and various people that I've sort of heard and the difficulties and the stories, you know, I still need to be disturbed by God. And one of the things I've been challenged by reflecting back over the time that I've been involved in serving and helping people is that I believe it's still possible to be sacrificially serving God and be self-centred. And we always have to keep examining our hearts as well. I constantly have to keep challenging myself about where I invest my time and energy and money. And they're the things that, they're the resources that we have to serve. And I remember one of a church pastor of the church I used to be before I moved down to Folkestone to be part of. And he was always saying, you can always tell where somebody puts their priorities by looking at their bank statement. And that really challenged me as well, you know, where are we investing? What are the priorities in our lives? But I think sort of, you know, spending time with people that are in crisis, in difficulty, it's challenged me the way I see people. And thinking back to Jesus, when he looked into the eyes of the prostitutes that he would meet, or standing in front of a leper and talking to the leper, Jesus didn't see a prostitute, Jesus didn't see a leper. He saw a human being, and it's because that he chose and believed in them that their lives were turned around. Jesus still believes in people, and that's the great news. And we have the privilege of being his hands and feet. And just sort of sharing a little bit about the shelter. Obviously, I know a lot of people here have been involved in the shelter. And the great thing about the shelter, the winter shelter, which is in its sixth year this year, starts on the 1st of December, is that it enables a window of opportunity for some of the most vulnerable people in our community to have a fresh start. And it might be you who's encouraging them, getting alongside them, speaking words of truth, of hope. They might be prickly, you know. They might you might get an initial reaction, but I'm sure some people who've been involved in the winter shelter over the previous years have seen people come alive, or people come out of themselves, or seen that they are lovable, that they are worth something. And that's the beauty of us when we all serve together. So there's lots of ways, opportunities to get involved. But I would just challenge you, if you're thinking, well, I might not have anything to give, or I've never spoken to a homeless person before, I just challenge you maybe to think, well, actually, you have got something to give, and you could unlock somebody in some way that somebody else can't, or that I couldn't do. So just a little challenge for you there. But it's a great project, and I think as a church, we've got a great opportunity to invest and hopefully see people's lives turn around and people come through their crisis situation. So thank you. Yeah. Okay. I think actually Nigel's got a DVD he's going to just quickly put on. I just wanted to get some volunteers just to talk about how the winter shelter's impacted their faith.
So enjoy. Was obviously something that was needed in Folkestone, and therefore I put myself forward. And it's been a very rewarding experience over the last few years.
You know, it's great seeing the guests, you know, in the street and just saying hello.
Volunteering has built on my faith rather than affected my faith. It just makes it even more important that the church is there with the homeless or those who are suffering.
Volunteering is one of those things that are inherent in me. And secondly, because I'm a born-again Christian, I feel it's one of the two important things that God expects of me. One, of course, being to tell the good news of salvation, preach the gospel, and the other, to love my neighbour as myself.
And it's just been a truly great opportunity to show the love of Jesus in the community.
And I think one of my favourite bits was we all got to play a card with the guests. I love playing cards. So, you know, it's just a really kind of relaxed feeling. And you actually get to realise that the guests are actually people just like us. You know, they've just been in difficult circumstances that have led them to become homeless. And, you know, most of the time through no fault of their own.
It was brilliant being with like-minded people. Really, really did put me at ease, and we had lots to chat about. And then the guests were brilliant as well. We used to have lots of fun. Once the dinner had finished, we'd play Stop the Bus and different card games like that, and had a good chat and a laugh.
The winter shelter actually is a very safe environment. It's important that the men feel safe. On the streets, they don't feel safe. But in the shelter, there is that security. They often say that they feel safe for the first time.
And it's been a wonderful opportunity to work with people from other churches and from people with no faith in a period of time that ordinarily we become a little bit isolated within their own churches. So to be involved with other people and share your faith with them through doing the work of God, then that's tremendous.
So it is a good environment for both the men and women that come and for the volunteers.
If anyone ever said to me, would you volunteer, and, you know, is it a good thing? I wouldn't hesitate in saying no, definitely. There is no finer thing than to be able to help someone who needs what they haven't got.
So, yeah, I highly recommend doing it.
There's a few familiar faces there, wasn't there, Eddie, wherever you are? Wonderful. Well, keeping it in the family, of course, John Wilson got married very recently to a very lovely young lady by the name of Manda. And one thing that I've always felt, and I think some of you will be aware of it, sometimes when you marry someone and you come into a church, you can be labelled as, oh, well, that's John's wife. But no, she's Manda. She's got her own heart, her own vision, but a tremendous passion and love for the community. And when we went to the wedding a few weeks ago, I've seen some happy brides, but she was so happy, and it was fantastic. So Amanda's just going to come and share for a few minutes what God has put in her heart for the community. So let's give her a welcome. Well done.
Hello. Ooh, it's a bit louder than I thought. I'm just going to sort of carry on kind of where John left off. So one of the things I absolutely love is that God uses our experiences, often painful ones, and turns them into our passions for his glory. And I've actually heard that said in a different way, which is, yeah, God turns our pain into our passion. And so I'm going to just to share a little bit of kind of where I've come from, just like John did, and then talk to you about what it is I've become passionate about and how I'm involved in community stuff. So I really struggled as a child and as a teenager in particular, emotionally and spiritually, I'd say. There's lots of different ways that we can struggle, but emotionally and spiritually was the way that I struggled. I wasn't part of a church like this. In fact, I went to a Catholic church, and there was probably about 10 people in the congregation, and we were a family of six, so we made up the majority of it. So there wasn't any of the community sort of living that you guys all experience, and I think are greatly benefited by, and I didn't know the love of Jesus. So there was nobody when I was growing up that I could speak to about anything I was struggling with, seek wisdom from, seek guidance from. And so I found it a very scary, compassless time, I'd call it. Felt a bit lost. Now, a lot of people experience stuff like that, but how that's worked in me, how that sort of came out, I'm a bit of a truth seeker. I love the truth. I found as a child I was seeking truth, but I wasn't finding it in the society around me or in, people I could go to. So, as I've grown up, my passions have developed into, I'm mostly motivated by seeking emotional well-being and spiritual freedom. Also, when I became a Christian when I was 21. So emotional well-being and spiritual freedom. Now, I've sought that in my life first, and I'm still seeking that and working that out. But I love helping, I want to help other people seek those things too. That, I'd say, splits down into two areas. Prevention. I'm really interested in prevention of emotional and spiritual pain. And the second part is relieving, healing of emotional and spiritual pain. I hope this is making sense to you all. Smile at me, please. Thank you. So how are those passions that came out of my life experiences now coming out, manifesting in my life and how I'm doing stuff? I'm going to deal with the prevention bit first, prevention of emotional or spiritual pain. So my last job was working, that I sought out this particular job, was working as a health personal advisor with what used to be Connections, and that was a government-funded youth service. I developed the role into doing a lot of sexual health group works with young people and promote doing emotional help emotional health group works as well, so looking at how you deal with stress and how you deal with anxiety and depression and those sorts of things, which is something that affects a lot of young people, as much as anybody of any age. So there was two parts of the job, lots of group work stuff, it was all health related, and then we also did mentoring as well, so mentoring young people into... So that was part of my job role. So I do believe very much that we can be Christ in the workplace as well as Christ outside. But within the church that I was working in, which was Canterbury Vineyard, myself and another lady set up mentoring for the young people in the church as well, which is a really beneficial thing. I love doing that. And then there's Breathe. Now, I know you've got Folkestone Options here. Breathe is basically... very similar organisation in Canterbury. So what we offer is unplanned pregnancy support. Graham mentioned that earlier. We saw the girl sitting on the toilet with the pregnancy swab and pregnancy test. So we offer unplanned pregnancy support and then some other support I'm going to mention in a minute. So myself and some other people in Canterbury have noticed the need and have set up the service. And what we will do is, people contact us when they're in the situation where they're pregnant and don't know what to do, and we will just meet up with them and just give them time to talk about their situation, hopefully get some clarity in the mud, because crises are just very scary, confusing times. Give them any information about the different options that are available to them, and hopefully let them come to a place where they can make a decision with their own personal integrity. So they might not be, most people aren't believers that come to use the service, and they wouldn't necessarily know that we were Christians either. We're quite careful about that, because the minute you mention Christian, it's got anything to do with unplanned pregnancy, people make up their own assumptions about what you're going to say to them or how you're going to treat them. But I think most people, you can find out elsewhere. But so we'll meet with people, and the idea is that they come to a place where they make an informed decision of themselves. So that's the prevention side of things, and that just gets me very excited. It's all about giving information, providing space, and balancing truth versus love, which is really challenges me. I've not personally experienced unplanned pregnancy, all the other things that Breathe offers support in. So I don't think you have to have experience in the area that you then work in. But it taps into my passions. That makes sense, of just trying to help. So it's about as well developing emotional awareness and enabling informed decisions. So that's all how those areas work. The second area. Is in sort of relieving or healing sort of spiritual or emotional pain. I'm part of the SOZO team in Canterbury. I don't know if any of you have heard of SOZO prayer. It's something that's come over from Bethel Church in America, and it's very much about, it's called, SOZO means healed, saved, delivered. It's a form of... very holistic prayer. It's amazing. Look it up. I can't describe it now because I'll go on for ages, but it's a fantastic form of prayer, which is incredibly releasing and freeing for people. And again, that can be with people who aren't Christians as much as who are with Christians. It does make sense if you look it up. I highly recommend it, and it's been incredibly amazing for me being involved. Terrifying to lead a SOZO prayer like that, because you never know what God's going to do, but so encouraging. I always come away going, God is just amazing. I didn't see that coming. So SOZO prayer, I love doing that. There's something called Celebrate Recovery, which I've only gone on to the beginning part of, and I need John's blessing to get involved with that soon. And that's something I believe came out of Salt and Light Ministries in Derby. I'm not quite sure, so check that out. But Celebrate Recovery is a ongoing course. It's starting in, there's one in Canterbury at the moment, Tuesday nights. So you can look it up on the internet. You'll find it if you look on Canterbury Vineyard. But it's all churches together, and it's anyone, so believers or not, taking you through a whole year-long course. It's a rolling course, and it's relieving from all forms of addiction, and not just the ones that we know commonly. There's all sorts of types of addictions, like codependency, and I won't go on. But so that's fantastic. And then Breathe, I'm going to mention Breathe again, same as Options Folkestone. We offer post-abortion support and miscarriage support as well. So that's very much about getting alongside people and helping them through the grief process, mainly by listening and some information as well. So that's how I'm involved. And I just want to finish with a couple of thoughts. The weird thing I've noticed is that my passions very much come out in how I love Jesus. Now, Jesus is, you know, God is unbelievable. We can't get all of the different we can't get our heads around all the different angles of who he is and how wonderful he is. But the way I love him, if that makes sense, what I most love about him and what I'm most attracted to him, it's directly then linked into my passions. I absolutely love how he balances love with truth and how he's very real with people. And he set, and that sets them free emotionally and spiritually, as well as the other reasons. And my favourite, my absolute favourite story in the Bible is in Luke 8 with the hemorrhaging woman. And it seems a really little story, and I never understood it. And I was quite annoyed when I read it when I was younger, because I thought, how is it he'd embarrassed that woman? You know, she'd 12 years of bleeding. How did he, why did he stop and turn around? Now I understand, you know, that there was total healing in that moment. Not only did she get healed physically, he knew that had happened. That wasn't the point. That woman had been ostracized for 12 years, and she was a reject in society. And by turning to her and making her acknowledge publicly what had happened to her, he said, daughter, your faith has healed you. Absolutely amazing. Is that whole, so the ownership there, the inclusion that was in that word daughter, had such emotional and spiritual healing in that moment. It's fantastic. She was restored socially as well as the other way. And that's just, that really excites me. So anyway, so this is the last thought to finish with. I hope that's made sense. I get a little bit excited when I start talking about stuff like this. But if you're not sure where you're about your passions, or where else to get involved, or where to get involved if you're not yet involved, then maybe a place to start is thinking about what impacts you most about Jesus. So what are you attracted to most in him? And that might then give you a key into where perhaps to get involved.
Brilliant. Okay. Great. Isn't it good when somebody speaks passionately about something? You can feel it. And I think that's true, what Manda says, the balance between truth and love. If it's all truth, then it can become quite legalistic. If it's all love, it can be very wishy-washy and almost lose boundaries. But when the two come together, that's powerful. And what did Jesus say? Or it said, John said, he came full of truth and he came full of love. And when those two come together, it's a lethal combination. Last but not least, another fantastic lady in this church. So you look around to see who it is, don't you? In fact, it's Vanessa. And for those of you who are visitors, Vanessa works for a local funeral director. Her boss is here this morning, and you all know who that is, but good-looking chap. Is he here? He's not here. Oh, he was. He's gone. He obviously knew you were going to speak. No, that's fine. And Nessie's got a tremendous heart for people, but it may not be what you're going to speak about this morning, is it? So I'll let you share.
I think that the tea and coffee is on the way very shortly, so I'm just going to tell you a story. But before I do that, I just want you just to turn to the next person, because we've had quite a lot of information this morning, talked a lot. So if there's anything that's spoken to you or anything that you think was really helpful in everything that you've heard this morning, maybe you could just turn to your neighbour and just tell them what you think it was. Maybe you thought the worship was fantastic, or... Okay, I'm just going to read a couple of verses and then I'm just going to tell you a story. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Okay. The lovely thing about us is that we're all different, isn't it? Isn't that lovely that we're not all the same as everyone else, and we all bring a lovely flavour where we're at? So So I'm just going to tell you a story about a couple. So it started with a love story. They loved God and they loved each other. Wilfred was an administrator and Hilda a nanny. They lived in Stanmore in North London and were married in late 30s. And very soon they were blessed with a daughter. I think I'm supposed to be... Am I supposed to be doing something? Yeah? Oh, there we go. Lovely. Okay, so they were blessed with a daughter and very soon another daughter. And when baby number 3 was on the way, the news came that Wilfred was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. He was 35, and for them it meant a whole new change of scene, of season. Hilda would now become the breadwinner, and it was recommended that for Wilfred he needed some better air, and that brought them down to Hythe in Kent, where they moved to South Road. This was 1950, and they were members, very dedicated and committed members of the local Brethren Church. They decided that actually what they needed to do was to use their house because they had the 3 small children. Things were difficult, so they started it up as a guest house. Unfortunately, this didn't work terribly well, and after 3 years... they decided that they needed to do something else. So it was back to God for direction, and they decided to open their house up as a nursery. And at that time, there were many mothers in London that were suffering from tuberculosis, and their children needed caring for. So they brought down 15... children at any one time in their home, and they cared for them while the mothers were in the sanatorium recovering. They had 4 little cots, so that meant a lot of night feeds, but also they had little beds made, so at that time there was 15 in 2 bedrooms plus the 3 small children. And what that meant to these young little lives was stability. It meant care, love, and a family environment. During this time, Wilfred was a Sunday school superintendent, and on a Sunday afternoon, he would run a club as well as entertaining the children when he could. That's Hythe Seafront, I don't know if you recognise it. And little picnics in the back garden, all just showing love and care for this little community that they had there. They also did an outreach on a Sunday afternoon with the children and brought in many. And also during this time, in Shorncliffe, they were stationed many young people that were doing their national service in those days. I don't know if anyone's old enough to remember that. But what they did was after church, they opened up their home and they said to any of these young soldiers, come back for dinner, come back and be part of our family. And if at any time during the week they were struggling being away from their own family, they could come and there was a home for them. Okay. They had very little, but what they had, they shared with the community. The nursery closed after 15 years, and it was a new season for them. Still very much part of their local community, reaching out to people. The mum helped set up, Hilda started to set up a group where ladies could come on a Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon, and they would have tea and cake, and they would have a preacher. But while the speaker was there, if they wanted to and they felt so inclined, they could bring their knitting, and so that they could do their knitting whilst listening to the preacher. How practical is that? But whatever they did it with God in the centre. They are ordinary people. They were ordinary people, and I would think that they would wonder why I was mentioning them this morning. But the reason why I'm mentioning them is because they affected their community. They had what they had, they shared, they gave out. And I don't know them personally, I've never met them. But when I was at work, probably about 10 or 12 years ago, I had two sisters come in to arrange a funeral. Mum still lived down here, but they had moved away. And when I introduced myself to them, they said, "Are you any relation to the Bloomfields that used to live in South Road?" So at which point I said that I'd married into it, and they said that as a youngster, they would go along to the group and they would learn memory verses and they were just cared for. And she said, "I still remember the memory verses today." She said, "I haven't been to church," but this was a lady in her early 50s, and she said, "I still remember them today." And I just think whatever you do, whatever God calls you to do, living love in the community, it does have an impact. We may never see it, but it does have an impact. This is the Fudgy's front room, by the way. If I had time, I would have talked about Nick and Val Fudge that regularly had 35 youngsters in their front room. But we'll leave it there, I think.
If you hadn't realised, that couple were Tim's mum and dad. And you wonder why Tim's got a heart for Hythe. It's in his genes. It's in his heart. It's a passion. And God's going to do something in Hythe. It's on the brink of something happening, and that is great. And it's great that this couple holds something very, very dear. I think that's a very moving story, and puts some of us to shame, doesn't it? But I think what we've heard this morning beats any sort of real preacher, if I can put it like that, because it's out of heart. And I just think, if we just be quiet for a moment, I just want to pray, and because our time has gone, and just and maybe you look at that hand that's up there on the thing, reaching out. Are we prepared to do that? Father, I want to say thank you that Jesus is our role model. Father, I don't know how many times I've heard that, but how true it is. When we look at the heart of Jesus, Father, it was full of compassion, full of love, which was not judgmental, but totally unconditional. And maybe, Lord, in our hearts just this morning, we would write on our hands, reaching out. And whatever way that is, whatever aspect of the community that can be, Father, it might just be to a neighbour, it might just be to a friend, it might be to another family. Father, nothing is insignificant when it comes to the kingdom of God. I just say thank you. Love is an amazing bridge over which you're able to speak. And so, Father, whatever we've heard this morning, whichever particular story has impacted us, I pray that we would carry that into our week. And even though we might go through struggles of our own, Father, may we still find it in our hearts just to reach out with the love of God. Lord, let there be love in action this week in whatever we do, whatever we say. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.